My middle name is pretty weird, but like I kind of just made it into its own thing. Eugene, I mean, it's not necessarily like the coolest middle name, but like I just kind of like made it its own.
My brother's name is Ernest Buell.
That's kind of cool.
Ernest Buell. It sounds like Buell. A folk singer.
All I think is Bueller.
Ernest Buell sounds like a folk singer who like lives in the Appalachians and makes his own moonshine. That's what I think of.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Can We Save the Cat, an entertainment and writer's room podcast where we pitch three ideas, pick one, develop it over the course of about a half an hour into the next hit movie or TV show, and then decide whether it's actually worth anything, whether to save it or scratch it. I'm one of your hosts, Danny Hanks, writer and director.
I am writer and actor Brian Hayes, one of your other hosts.
I am one of your other hosts, Justin Eugene, writer and producer.
Hi, Justin.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Your hoodie says hi.
It says hi, I'm awkward.
I mean, that's accurate.
Yeah.
It is accurate.
Danny's says bake it till you make it.
Yeah, my shirt says bake it till you make it. Guess what I made last night?
Something baked?
Key lime pie.
Ooh. That sounds really good, actually.
It was delicious. Did you know that key lime pie is really simple? 5 ingredients.
I want to guess. Okay.
Well, are you making the crust from scratch?
Well, no.
Welcome to the British Bake Off.
Okay. Limes, eggs, milk, butter, sugar?
Nope. Graham cracker crust.
Okay.
Which, if you want to make from scratch, is just graham crackers, sugar, and butter, but yeah. I'm not adding that. So graham cracker crust, lime juice.
Okay.
Sour cream.
Oh.
Condensed milk.
Okay.
Lime zest.
Ugh, gross.
Interesting. So there's no eggs.
Nope. No eggs. I mean, if you want to do like a meringue on top, you could do eggs, but yeah. That's more of like a lemon meringue type.
Sour cream only belongs in tacos.
I also made a filet mignon steak last night with asparagus and sweet potatoes.
Danny, I gotta be honest. That's a pretty solid Saturday night date.
Yeah, it was. That steak was perfect. Because best way to cook a steak, reverse sear with a cast iron.
I'm not the biggest steak person.
Well, you're just wrong.
Well, hi, I'm awkward.
Hi, Brian's wrong.
Wow. Damn.
So what's this person's name now?
Oh God, do I have to pick another?
Yes, you do.
You give us a name and we'll decide if it's fake or their real name.
Patrick.
Fake.
That's his real name. No, his real name is, okay, it's Patrick. She's trying to get us. The last letter of Patrick is the first letter of his name. It's Kevin. His name's Kevin.
No.
Poor Kevin's out there in the world.
Well, I would not date a person named Kevin.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I guess unless I met the perfect
I'm just
Kevin,
saying,
I don't know.
Danny, in case Brian and I are like looking on a dating app, we're like, oh, this name will be perfect for Danny.
Oh my God.
It's not like their name is like Inya, and you're like, I knew an Inya, and so I never want to date anybody with that name. Like, it's Kevin. That's about as bland as you can get, and you're like, nope, Kevins are out.
I mean, Brian's pretty bland. So I mean,
Brian's super. So is Justin.
Danny's really unique, so yeah, you know.
I mean, don't be a dick.
I'm special. We already knew that.
Is your full name really Danny?
No, it's Danielle.
So, a little boring.
Yeah, but I made it interesting. When I was a kid, people made fun of my name because of my middle name. My middle name is Boone, so people would call me Baboon.
Fair, fair, fair.
Where would the Bab come from?
It just sounds like a baboon.
That's fair. I like Boone. Boone's a cool name. You should go by Boone. Boone Hanks.
I had a horrible nickname in high school because of like the incident in, I think, eighth grade where someone broke my front tooth.
What?
So, I mean, I didn't come from the wealthiest family. So like the best my parents could do was they put like a metal post in the tooth to put it back in. So they used to make fun because like, because the tooth was dead and broke, like there was this metal post connecting half the two halves of the tooth together, and it would make my one tooth kind of like look blue. So I used to have like all these nicknames about having a blue tooth.
Wow.
It was a pretty brutal beating from like
literally people. I would only ever call you Cam Post or Justin.
The most common nickname, and you can ask all our high school friends, Blue V. I'm guessing you don't remember what the V is for.
No. Well, I'm going to bleep. I'm going to take all this out because I don't like throwing in high school stories. So you can say it.
Oh, so Blue V was for blue vagina.
Okay, I'm not taking that out. I'm joking.
They like made fun of the Bluetooth and it just became like an ongoing spectacle of like
that's
nicknames.
So mean.
I mean, that was kind of like our guy group. That's just how everybody like did everything. They just made fun of everybody. And like,
I would have hated to be a part of that group.
Well, it's one of those things like you realize like, oh, this is a really emotional trigger for me right now. I don't really like this nickname as much as I like the other ones.
My nickname, it bugged me so much. Everybody would just call me BA and I hated it.
I mean, I am a culprit of that because I did not even know you didn't like it. I just thought that was your nickname.
In my mind, I associated that. Like, the only people that called me that were, like, the popular kids, quote unquote. So, I hated the nickname the whole time. And every time they would call me it, I'm like, okay, I hate this, but yet I'm still trying for their affection and I'm still trying to be a part of this group. And so, I just, like, I have this really horrible association with that nickname. Of like doing things that I didn't want to do in high school because I was trying so hard to be popular. And then whenever I think about it now, I'm like, why? I hated that even down to the nickname.
I mean, my nickname I hated very much so, but it also created a very witty side of me where I could come back with quips very quickly and hurt people very quickly and deeply emotionally.
That's fair. Your words do hurt.
They do, I'm sure. I was a bit of a dick in high school, I think mainly because of that trigger.
Oh my God. All right.
And are we ready for some pitches?
I'm ready.
I think we are ready for some pitches. I think this is exciting. So we are doing something a little different this episode. We are doing title pitches only, aka we are coming in hot with a title for whatever project we're going to be working on, and that's it. If we have context built up in our head, we cannot give it to anybody else during the pitch. The pitch is just going to be a few words to describe the title, and then we move on. So, with that in mind, who wants to get us started? I nominate Justin.
My pitch for this afternoon will be called The Cellar Door.
Okay.
And as we said, no context.
Yeah.
Yep. No context.
Mine is One Trick Wonder.
One Trick Wonder. Okay. Okay. Mine is Derek Carson's Very Bad Day.
Wow.
So we have The Cellar Door, Derek Carson's Very Bad Day, and One Trick Wonder.
Should I vote first and we go that way, or are we going reverse?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Oh, God, this is awful.
This is so bad.
I mean, Brian sounds like a Disney movie.
It does sound like a Disney movie.
And Danny sounds like a stripper.
It does sound like a stripper.
I'm guessing that's where neither one of you are going, I feel like, but I'm going to go with Brian's because I guess it feels like it has the most context. I don't know.
Let's go.
I'm going to go with The Cellar Door.
Okay.
No comment at all to it. It's just like, let's move on.
I'm trying to think. Okay, so it comes down to this. Here's the thing. I have context in mind. So since y'all have voted, mine was about an alien invasion. And this guy.
That's definitely not where I thought it was going to go.
Alien invasion. No. And this guy is trying to... basically, Cloverfield meets Mars Attacks was where I was going in my head.
Wait, so who are you voting for?
So mine has no context. I just want to throw that out there.
Yours has no context, but I'm really nervous it's going to get into a horror film.
Well, I thought that was a cool thing is like once we have the title, then if there's no context and you just like we vote on like where we go with it. I thought that was the whole point of this. I didn't think we were going to come in like, oh, by the way, I have an idea. So if you choose mine, we're going to run with my idea, not...
No, we don't have to.
Like, if we pick mine, well, there are a few different ideas.
Definitely not running with Brian's idea.
Wow. Cloverfield meets Mars Attacks. I thought that was funny.
Mm.
Wow. Y'all are boring.
Maybe it's just the day. I'm just not feeling like the alien thing.
Okay. I'm going to go... One Trick Wonder sounds way too... Wait a minute. Could this be the hard R sports story that I've been looking for? One Trick Wonder? It could be about a magician, and then we would loop Justin in on it.
Brian is not allowed to go last anymore, because like this is ridiculous. God.
I'm going to go with the cellar door, because I don't want to randomly generate it.
All right. Do you guys want to know what my thing was?
Yeah.
It was going to be like a magician who knows one good trick and goes viral, but then he's bad at everything else.
Damn it.
If only I would have known that. I would have gone magician.
I was thinking that you were going to pick it because you trick.
Should have texted me on the sly like, Justin, vote for this. It'll be for you.
Could have also been a sport thing. Could have also been a horse thing.
No, one trick pony would have been awful.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, now we're stuck with the cellar door.
Which literally can go anywhere.
I don't want to go horror.
Okay. Mystery. You could go dark drama like The Room. You could go...
I mean, you could technically go comedy like Parent Trap, like trap the parents in there. You could do all kinds of stuff.
I like the mystery idea of it.
Have we done a mystery?
Ooh, okay. So I have a concept. Justin's been trying to do a TV show. So what if we went with something like it's at a winery and it's this new employee. They start there. It's kind of hour-long drama type. And they're really excited. They're at this winery. They're trying to break into the world of like sommeliers and stuff like that. They're at this really exclusive winery. And the owners are like, we're going to teach you everything. You can go everywhere, but you can't go in this one area. And then obviously as the story progresses, the show progresses, they try and learn about the sinister...
What's beyond the cellar door?
What's beyond the cellar door? The sinister goings-ons of the owners of this winery that like they lock themselves in the cellar door and then you can hear noises and stuff coming from down there, but nobody knows exactly what it is, stuff like that.
It could also be based off of, did either of you see the Netflix documentary about the sommelier who, or the guy who sold a bunch of fake wines? He like sold a bunch of counterfeits for millions and millions of dollars and he was just making them in his home.
Good for him.
So it could also be that like in the pilot, the person discovers that this is what this winery is doing, but also learns that like the last person who found out was murdered and like finds his body like somewhere in the wall behind the cellar door or whatever. And that's where they keep the bodies and they're faking all these wines. And so now he has to like fake wine with them.
Yeah. It could be a sex cult in there. There's all kinds of stuff you go with in the cellar door.
Always making it sexual.
It could also be a what's it called? Tornado.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tornado shelter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the first part is like figuring out where we want to go. Like I said, I could do anything just minus horror. I was thinking like I think wine cellars is something that's sticking out to me.
I think it's easy enough.
Okay. Okay, so we know that it's a movie about, like, a winery. Something about
that's
a wine cellar.
Now.
Or a TV show.
Yeah, we're
show.
In a movie.
I mean, we could go murderer again. We could go serial killer.
I like mystery where, like, she's... whoever we're following is not necessarily the killer. She's more, like, involved.
I know that this is not the... And I'm not saying that we go horror with it. But you could steal a concept from Hill House where... Everything's going on and they can't find the key to that red room the entire time. And like that could be the cellar door, but you don't have to make it horror. It could be mystery. It could be drama. It could be whatever. And then the cellar door is symbolic of something. Da-da-da, the Babadook.
Babadook. Well, you know, it could be, I guess you could do the whole, like,
Duke.
It's a newly bought thing, and for some reason, no one can open that door.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting.
Like, they're 3 months in, and, like, this new waitress or waiter that we follow, like, why can't you open it? Like, since we bought the place, no one's been able to open. No one knows what's down there, but, like, architect said it's nothing. It's, you know, it's just a cellar, so whatever.
I feel like that's Thriller. Unless you wanted to go comedy with it, in which case it would be like comedy Thriller.
Doesn't feel like comedy.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like comedy. I'm just trying to figure out what could be done to where... So they clearly have this fully operational winery going. So they have cellars and everything.
Is it a restaurant or is it a winery?
I mean, I would imagine it's like one of those nicer wineries up in Napa or something that you go to Temecula, and they have the, it's like a large estate basically.
Yeah.
And so there's the winery and they have all the vineyards, and then down below you have, and they serve food and everything. And then down below there's like a kitchen area and then the cellars where they store the wine and all that. And so they do tours of the cellars, and this new worker there is like, what's behind, we did this whole tour, but what's with this red door or something like that? And they're like, oh, that's the cellar that we don't go into. The owners own that. And that's their private cellar or something. It could even be that you think that there's like a very that's where they keep, okay. Ooh. So this could be concept. Like, it wouldn't be horror, and it might play into Pablo's Chocolatier a little too much, but it could be something where they have a very exclusive private label bottle that they sell 5 bottles of every year or something like that.
And it uses human blood.
Something like that. And they make it. And so everybody's like, oh, you don't go back there. That's where they are brewing the private label stuff.
It's like Sweeney Todd.
Fudge. Yeah.
I mean, I think we have an idea, though. We have a winery. Are we going to go, if it's a TV show, we're basing off like an ensemble of cast? Is it just like around one person in this mystery? Is it?
Yeah, I'm imagining like in my head, a young woman, like fresh out of college, she wants to be introduced in the world of like sommelier. I'm really thinking like, Danny, you might know what this is, but Below Deck, the TV show. Okay.
I'm aware of it.
You know it? Okay. I'm basically thinking of like somebody coming into this world that's really exclusive. So in Below Deck, it's like yachting. And
it's about
and,
the staff.
Yeah. And it's about the staff. And then in this, I'm thinking it's like this young girl coming into this world of high-end wineries, right? And everybody's there for the season, and everybody's doing like you get there for wine season and all the festivals and tours and everything and summer type job thing. And so it's primarily following her.
I have a concept. So it could be that, but it could be that she's reluctantly in the wine industry. Like her parents owned this big winery and they just passed away. Hmm. And she has no money. You know, she's really good at tasting wine because she grew up doing it, but she never wanted to be in the wine business. But now it's her responsibility to settle this estate. And part of it is, this door is locked and they can't get past it. So now she has to like run this entire frickin' estate, figure out how to sell it, but she can't sell it until she figures out what's behind the cellar door. And of course, what's behind the door is like, I don't know, either expensive bottles of wine, or if we want to go sentimental, childhood knickknacks that she forgot she had, or I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I like most of that for sure. I think I like the idea. I've been trying to think of like, what is something that we could put behind the door that would not be something that they just want to like immediately get to? Like, how can we make it to where it's obtainable, but not so desirable that they're immediately just going after it? Because I can imagine that the first episode is following her as she's accepting this inheritance, going to the winery, meeting the staff. And then at the very end, she's getting the tour of the place and she's like, what's behind the cellar door? And the staff is like, oh, it's locked. Like, we don't even know. Nobody has the key. And then that's like kind of how the first episode ends. But what is behind there that can be obtainable, but not too desirable?
Another concept, you could take the first act of Room and basically just expand that into a whole TV show and have it be this really dark and funny, but like the difficulties of living in this cellar and not being able to go beyond the cellar door, but like expand that into a full season.
I'm out.
Yeah, that one loses me.
Okay.
I'm also trying to think, Justin, did you ever watch the show Sweet Bitter?
No.
Okay, I'm 0-for-2 on my references here.
What if inside the cellar is like, there's like the story and the staff that like there's some kind of like, I mean, not pirate treasure, but something similar to that, like the wine or whatever it is in there is like, it's worth money.
To me, that's too desirable. Like, why would this have been left alone for years? And now that she's there, it all of a sudden becomes an obtainable, like they want it.
What if when she gets the deed, there's like a clue to opening, you know, the cellar, like, you know, there's a clue within the deed or something. And that's kind of why she keeps it going, because she wants to find out what's in there. And like she has to go through, you know, whatever your classic mystery obstacles to kind of find what's in there.
Riffing off of that, you know what it made me think of just right now, which is kind of a mystery follow the clues because it's a quest, Diablo. Like, what if we went like hardcore fantasy, The Witcher-esque?
You lost me.
All right. Well,
I was,
I mean, I just don't know what you're saying right now, so that's where you've lost me.
Okay,
you can keep going.
The only other thing I could think of is if there is like private label or knickknacks, like childhood memories or something like that, it could be that maybe she gets the winery, but she doesn't get the inheritance. And the inheritance is locked away. She doesn't know where it is. In the will, there's like a, like you mentioned, a clue, but she doesn't even know that it's behind the cellar door. And so she's just running this winery, and then we feed little nuggets throughout about she's talking about doing a remodel. She's talking about doing some stuff. Then once they tear down a wall at some point because of the remodel, that you see, you finally see the cellar door, and then it's about her figuring out like how to get into it.
Sounds like season two.
Yo, I may have just broken this.
Oh, God.
Chronicles of Narnia in a winery.
So.
Oh, my God, I'm in.
Sort of. Except for, instead of Chronicles of Narnia, the cellar door is how we get to the people living underground who are albino that Justin pitched a number of weeks ago.
No.
And they can't go outside the cellar door, and they're all living underground, and it's an entire underground society.
I'm not ready for sci-fi right now.
No.
Oh, my God. Guys, that would have been so great.
Oh my God.
If I was in the mood for sci-fi, I think you have an idea there. I mean, it's like fucking Fringe and some kind of weird shit, but I was thinking just a simple mystery show that people would watch.
All right, fine. Let's go freaking mystery.
That's what we agreed
on. She finds a clue.
Danny's so salty about that.
It was a good idea. It was a way to make...
I didn't say it was a bad idea.
Okay, let's go to... there is a version of a custom story of the game Amnesia, where the main character has been like thrown into purgatory and has to go through all these different doors to reclaim different parts of like he's stuck there being held by two people who are in limbo who need to reclaim memories in order to get out of limbo. And he has to go through all these doors. And like every time he goes through a different door, it's a different feeling, like anger, sadness, kindness, and then has to experience all those things that this other person lived. And in putting all the things back together, he realizes that the person that he's talking to is actually his mother and father, who died at a young age and have been stuck in this limbo ever since. So we could go that route.
What if we straight up steal from the Babadook?
I thought you didn't want to go...
No. So what I mean by that is we have... this owner who's really eccentric, he has this red, this cellar door.
It's red, apparently.
Yeah, I keep thinking that it's red in my mind. But anyways, they go down there, like maybe they're in a really good mood, or they're in a really bad mood, excuse me. Then they go down into the cellar door and they come out and they're in a really good mood. And you don't know, it's kind of not sinister, but it's kind of like ominous as to what it could be. And this new person comes in and everybody knows, like, you don't question Ralph, the owner or whatever. Like he just, that's his room. And she questions it and tries to figure out what's behind it. And turns out it's nothing. It's literally just a room where he goes and he's got like undiagnosed something, and she ends up kind of helping him through. Basically, the more...
Or it's like photos of his dead wife and she learns that that's her mom.
Oh, shit. Well, that would be...
It's like her dad and the cellar, and she always grew up like never go into the cellar door. And you think that it's going to be like a horror thing. Like she gets a note from somebody saying like,
yeah,
you need to look in the cellar door. He's not telling you something. And then she has your typical mystery where she's trying to figure out and scheme to get in the cellar door. And then when she gets there, it's just like a bunch of photos, because she always thought like she was adopted or something, or she always thought like this other person was her mom.
I think that's it for me, because for me, it'd be all about the setting, right? You could set it in Northern California, or like I was even thinking maybe somewhere like Oregon or Maine or something, where you have these really high cliffs. And so it's more for me about the setting, this winery overlooking the ocean and this beautiful setting. And so it's more about her in that small town. And like people know that people are trying to help this man because, you know, they don't know what is wrong with him either, but they're trying to help him and prevent her from figuring out this mystery that...
Well, or the entire town could know, and her mom could have been, like, murdered.
Okay, he's got a son, and he's always told her... She's, like, a year older, and her mom's dead, and she's always been told that she was adopted because maybe she looks nothing like her mom or something. I don't know. But anyways... The mom was the one with all the power, and she left her inheritance to her firstborn or something. And so the dad and the son are basically trying to, they don't want to kill her, but they're trying to prevent her from her inheritance, which is behind like the idea that she's actually their biological child, or her mom's biological child from a first marriage or something.
So for me, I wouldn't go inheritance with it. I would go like emotional drive. Like hardcore emotional drive. So it would be like she's with her dad. He's probably in the stage where he's like, maybe he's getting dementia or something. And she remembers having a really plain, normal childhood, except for don't go in the cellar door. And it's a small town, so everybody knows. And maybe what it was like he... And it must have been like the mom died in some way that was shameful to the dad, right? Like wouldn't want to know about it. Like, he used to be an alcoholic. He got in a car crash while they were all in the car, and she was the one that died.
Hmm.
But like, as a baby, she survived, right?
Yeah.
But now he's you know, reformed and all this stuff, and he hasn't told her anything about her mom, and she thinks that she's either adopted or that somebody else is her mom, and then somebody sends her a note that's like, he's not telling you everything. And it ends up either being, you know, her stepmom who sent her the note, or her brother, or whatever. And the entire town is like, no, don't go down there. Like, you don't want to know.
Would it be too much to flip this? And instead of telling this from her perspective, we tell it from his. And I think what you caught me with was dementia. And we could almost make it seem like this, he's trying to uncover these clues, but he can't quite piece everything together. And the cellar door is like, maybe just, I don't know. I'm basically imagining something like Shutter Island or Memento, where he's just trying to get back to his memories.
That is so sad.
I know, but we're seeing it from his perspective of this dementia taking over, and he can't, he's trying to put these clues together. He's trying to create this puzzle piece. And in your mind, you're like, there's something going on here. But then whenever he gets there, it's like his daughter in a normal room. And that's like where, or it could be like he goes to the cellar door and he's remembering things differently because of the dementia. Like he's remembering 30 years ago, like playing with his wife and daughter in the cellar door. And that's what he's trying to like get back to.
Like,
yeah.
Still Alice meets Memento. Like, he is interacting with his wife, or who he thinks is his wife. And it actually turned like, sometimes his wife is around, sometimes this caregiver is around.
Yeah.
And they've all said, you know, don't go in the cellar door. And he's decided to go. And then at the end of the movie, of course, turns out that his wife is dead. And the woman that he's been interacting with this whole time has been the caregiver all along.
We could even dual perspective it with still the idea of like a newcomer coming in for the wine season, and she's asking these questions about the eccentric owner, and then we're showing it, you know, we're following him, but she's still kind of like poking holes and stuff and trying to be our like eyes into this situation as well.
I mean, she could also be the caregiver.
Yeah.
You could have it be the caregiver and the dad, and she thinks that it's some kind of dark secret. And basically they're saying like, this is what messed him up. And she thinks that he murdered somebody or that there's elder abuse going on or something like that. So then it's a dual thing where they're trying to figure out, and then they get down there and it turns out that like his wife was the one who died in this terrible car crash. And he suffered brain damage or something, and now...
Or it could even be that, you know, like you had mentioned, he was an alcoholic, he caused his car crash, his wife passed away, but now, like, he was reformed and did so well, like, created this winery and this massive business that everybody loves, but now that he's aging, he's, like, regressing, and he's remembering his days with his wife and, like, during his alcoholism and all that. That's sad. Like, this might be
I mean,
too,
hey, we didn't go horror.
Heavy. We didn't go horror, but God, this is like some emotional weight.
I mean, I think it's good. Do we do movie or TV show?
I think now it's a movie.
Yeah, I think it could.
Yeah, it's a movie now.
Yeah, it's a movie.
You screwed it all up. I wanted a simple mystery TV show, and you went and screwed it up.
It's a simple mystery. It's well, I mean, simple. It's done like once every 10 years.
It's not simple. It's super emotional now.
Yeah, it is.
Good Lord. There's tears everywhere. I just wanted a guilty pleasure.
I mean, that's just the twist at the end. The entire time you're thinking that it's like... wealth or something sinister or something else.
Yeah, you're thinking it's like, oh my God, he's like this old man killing people.
I'm sold. This is so sad.
It's so sad.
I hate it.
All right.
I just wanted a guilty pleasure TV show. Motherfuckers.
Well, hey, I think the cellar door was like the wrong title for that sort of thing. Yeah.
We had a great TV show going, and then Danny and Brian went off on a emotional tangent of like, let's bring this in. And I was like, just a girl who like gets a deed that says, here's a mystery, let's solve it. You know, no. We had to go into like people dying, being drunk, elderly being abused. I mean, you know. Real dark, guys.
That's
Jesus.
It's just what we do.
Bring
we're
some light in your life.
That good. It's raining, so I can't.
Is that I think it?
We did it.
I think that's it. Yeah. I think there's nothing.
I think it's so sad that that's probably as far as I want to develop that.
Yeah. I mean, I think we basically have our act one and act three figured. The act two, like her kind of unraveling the mystery and still dealing with him.
Yeah.
Could be played a little bit more. But yeah, I think
tab
for the most
a
part.
Tab A into slot B, take the structure of any murder mystery, or not murder mystery,
exactly.
But like any mystery and figure out the conceit there.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Danny's going to go off and do the log line. She'll be back. And when she comes back, she will pitch us the log line, and we will decide if we're going to save the cat or scratch it. All right, Danny, we'll see you in a bit.
Hey, everyone. Just a quick reminder, as always, that these podcasts are for entertainment purposes only. These ideas are fresh, new, and sometimes submitted by you. Anything said is not meant to infringe on the copyright of any existing work of art, and everything is thought of during this show without any previous influence. If it sounds like something you've already seen or heard, what can I say? That's Hollywood, all out of fresh ideas. Thanks and enjoy.
And we're back. Danny's going to pitch us a log line, and we'll go around the room, starting with Brian and finishing with me, and we'll decide if we're going to save the cat or scratch it. All right, Danny, take it away.
The cellar door. When a live-in nursing aide is hired to assist a winery owner who has dementia, she is told they both need to stay away from the cellar for his health. The entire town begs her to stop asking questions, but through the owner's brief glimpses of lucidity, she gets the strange feeling something sinister is behind that locked door. Can they work together to uncover the truth?
Hi, Brian.
Yeah. I think I do save this. I know Justin will probably not. I don't know. He might. I think he's going to scratch it because he didn't like where we took it. But honestly, I was probably going to scratch it up until the very end when we added that twist, because I really like this idea of showing the perspective of someone with dementia, kind of the world crumbling around them. I think that's really unique and something I've never really seen. And if we can throw in like a mystery, not murder mystery, but mystery, bigger thing to solve in there as well, I think that's really fun. And so, yeah, I'm fully in on this.
So I think that, and I don't do this often, but I think that I scratch it. I think it's an interesting idea, but I just wouldn't work on it. And I think as far as the dementia story, Julianne Moore really did it best with Still Alice. And I'm still really floored with that depiction of it. I don't think it's a bad idea. I just don't think it's something that I would be super excited to work on myself. So yeah, I scratch it.
That's fair.
Sorry, Justin.
That's totally fair. And I think, you know, to your point, Still Alice is a fantastic depiction of dementia. My thing is just the idea that that's our twist and we can still play with this mystery realm. That's like what actually does it for me. And that's really intriguing to me.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah.
Pretty sure these two led the way on the dementia move. And she's scratching her own idea on the actual movie.
You get so mad when Danny scratches your ideas.
I laugh so... Well, it would be different if I was the one pushing it in a direction and she didn't like it. She pushed it in that direction, not me.
Let's reminisce to when you pushed there to be a mother-daughter team of arsonists, and then you were like, I wasn't saying that was better. I scratch it, even though you were like, oh yeah, I mean, I think it works better.
Yeah, you definitely, we got you on the tapes on that one.
I thought wrong.
All right, Justin.
I'm just saying. I thought wrong. I prefer it to be a simpler show because I just think a simpler mystery sells on TV. But you guys been into a movie and the twist, I think, makes it better for a movie. So I save it. I think it's a solid movie. Maybe it's not something we hire Danny on. That's totally fine.
Wow. Wow, just throw me under the goddamn bus.
I mean, I love that she created a great idea for us that we could sell to someone else. That's fantastic for us. Always great to have someone consult for free.
Was I the one who brought up dementia? Oh, yeah, maybe.
You led Brian in that direction, yes.
Was I the one who brought it up originally, though?
I think you said alcoholism, and then Brian, I think, mentioned dementia, and you just like...
There we go.
You know, continued to massage his ego in that scenario until it became like the
thing. Just wanted to confirm that it wasn't all me.
Oh, it was definitely you and Brian, as I said earlier. You both led it in that direction away from where we were.
Yeah, and I think that's what sold it for me. So,
well, and that's why we get 2 out of 3 saves, yeah. And you know, and we're richer and Danny's still the same.
Wow. Wow.
So I think it's time to move on to our next project, Brian.
There we go. There we go.
I hate both of you.
It's the exact same thing I have with Furbies. You two left me in the dust because I said no.
I'm still bringing you on as a producer for sure. If you want to be on it. I mean, if you don't want to be on it, that's totally fine, Justin. I just thought we were a team.
I thought we were too until you threw me under the bus.
All right. What is everybody watching this week?
You won't believe this, guys. I'm still watching TV shows about female CIA agents.
Oh my god. Are you on Alias?
I've never watched Alias in my life. I started watching it. It is so bad.
What?
Oh my god.
But Bradley Cooper's in it, and I still can't get over the fact that Bradley Cooper got to start in Alias.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
he was isn't he like the tech guy kind of?
No, he's like the friend that knows nothing who, like, he's a reporter who gets too involved and gets the crap beat out of him.
Yes. Okay.
He's basically the punching bag the whole first 2 seasons. It's so bad. Yeah,
that's right.
And it's like sci-fi, too. It's like
mm-hmm.
some guy in the past, like, has figured out how to make technology. And I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
Lost makes so much more sense now.
I love Lost.
Never seen either of those.
Isn't J.J. Abrams in that Lost?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, Alias is, I guess, one of his first shows, and man, makes sense.
I like Lost. I watched the Frances McDormand new movie, Nomadland. Yeah, it was very well directed. Chloe Zhao, I think, and very well acted, but it was kind of thin. Like, I'm all for movies that are slow and just really beautifully shot and then light on dialogue. So when the dialogue is said, it hits really hard. But this whole movie just was oddly paced. And if it weren't for the story that they were telling, I would have hated it. But it was just so intriguing to me, this idea of, you know, the modern day nomads. And so...
Interesting.
Yeah. I hope the movie was so beautifully shot. Like that's what stuck with me, is there were just these scenes that were just so wonderful. But the movie was pretty thin overall, so I don't know how I felt about it. I watched it recently, so I'm still kind of like teetering back and forth on my overall thoughts. But yeah, Nomadland, it's on Hulu. I would definitely recommend anybody checking it out if you just want to see a very well-directed movie.
Very cool. Yeah, I'll have to take a look at that. I need to actually watch the nominees when they come out. I have been watching the HBO series I May Destroy You.
Oh.
It's really good. Do you guys have either of you seen it?
I have heard a lot about it. I canceled my HBO Max like right whenever I started hearing a lot about it. So I was like, damn it.
It's really good. It's really stylistic. It's like, it really goes to show that a half hour show can have a lot of material in it. Cause with the amount that goes on, I wasn't expecting it to be a half hour. Like I'm still shocked that it is a half hour, but it is kind of in the mystery realm. I don't know how much you guys know about it, but it's set in London and it follows this woman who's a writer. And in the first episode, she gets raped and she doesn't remember anything because she was drugged. And so it's like the entire season is her trying to unravel the mystery of like, and deal with it. Basically, it's kind of like Deeper, honestly, her dealing with the aftermath and the career setback. And since she's a writer, people are like, oh my God, you should write about this. And her dealing with her friends who, you know, one of them was there and left her at the bar. So it's like a lot of stuff. Really yeah. Interesting, really fascinating.
Yeah, I definitely want to check that one out. Yeah, I had HBO Max. We had like a free trial or something, and I let it lapse because I had watched all of Euphoria again and all of the last season of Curb and everything. So I was just like, yeah, I'm good on that. And then sure enough, I hear about this new show and I'm like, damn it. So,
well, if you're listening and you want to help fund Brian's HBO Max subscription,
there we go.
DM us at Can We Save Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and let us know that you want to. We are looking for advertisers, so let us know if you want to help, and then maybe we can watch more of those awesome shows that we can tell you about at the end of every week.
There we go. There we go.
For shizzle.
All right, but yeah, no, this so.
Yeah, you got this. No, you got this. Just keep going. Just power through.
If only you guys could see this
so,
right now.
So that was Nomadland, I May Destroy You, and Alias.
Yeah. Yep. I think...
I'm 40 years old.
You're,
is it your birthday?
I'm honestly curious.
I'm not 40, Danny. God, stop. You absolute psycho. Oh, my God.
Wow.
It's your birthday? Yeah, I'm 40. Asshole. I was joking that I'm watching an old show.
I'm just shocked. Like, how many of these old ass shows are you going to keep watching? Like, where's it going to stop?
I don't know.
Where's the line?
I don't know.
Trying to think, what else could you watch that's like an old...
Female CIA agent? Probably Castle.
You could watch Firefly. Gina Torres. I mean, she's not really like a spy, but she's a badass.
I'm like digging female lead roles right now. I don't know why.
Yeah, check out Firefly.
Check out Law and Order SVU.
Marissa Hargitay.
Mariska Hargitay.
There you go.
She makes like 30 mil an episode.
No, what? No.
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up right now.
And thank you all for tuning in to Can We Save the Cat? We'll see you all next week. I'm Justin Eugene. You can catch me on all platforms at Justin Eugene.
I am Brian Hayes. You can catch me on the big socials at Bredacted.
I am Danny Hanks. You can catch me at Official Danny Hanks on Instagram and at Danny _ Hanks on Twitter. Because for some reason, Twitter doesn't let you have that many characters, so I can't be Official Danny Hanks. But yeah, I'm on Twitter now. Hit me up. And yeah.
Do they not know who you are? You are Official Danny Hanks. They should allow that. All right, everyone.
How much is Mariska Hargitay paid per episode?
Wow.
Okay, so apparently she makes $500,000.
An episode.
Probably like, yeah, an episode.
That's still really good considering how many do they do of those a year? 22?
That's so much different than the day.
That's still like 11 million a year just on 22 episodes.
It's fantastic. It's just so funny because like that's so different than what Danny
30 million a year.
30 million. She doesn't even make that in a year.
I think the highest paid people get like a million an episode. So that one.
I must have, you know what the article must have been? I must have read that article a few years ago when she had hit her 30 million mark.
Mm.
And because then she had a salary bump too.
Gotcha.
After the frickin' 347th season, she had a salary bump.
Yeah.
But all right. Thank you for listening to Can We Save the Cat? We will see you all next week. And like, subscribe, give us 5 stars.
Yeah, we already did that.
Bye.
Bye.